ask our brother James to give us those necessary words of exhortation.
Well, my dearly beloved brethren and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have quite a challenge this evening, and that is to elevate our minds above our environment, that we might come to know God the better and to understand the great care that He has extended to us all. As our brother David has mentioned, we now, for this moment, dwell in a land that glorifies death. And we can better understand why Joseph, who desired that his bones might be taken and not left here, but brought into the land of promise. For here was one who was only greater, whose greatness was only exceeded by the greatest of the pharaohs, who would not want to give credibility to the shrines that we have seen. And so it was to this land that our Lord came. And therefore, thus fulfilling the words of Hosea, when as a result of Herod's purge, Joseph and Mary fled here, and then following the death of Herod, as we know, brethren and sisters, an angel appeared to them, telling them that they could return to the land. And so, as Matthew chapter 2 records, thus fulfilling the words of Scripture, out of Egypt have I called my son. And when we think of those words that Matthew records, of how that our Lord was here, but then returned to the land, one wonders why in his life He made this pilgrimage at the direction of the Father in heaven and His mother and Joseph. And I believe that the answer to that, brethren and sisters, is more than the fact that in His life He reflected what Israel did as a nation, He being this individual servant. But I believe the words of Hosea chapter 11 were fulfilled as a result of that action. Because we know that it was Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1 that was the words that were quoted in Matthew chapter 2. Because in Hosea chapter 11 we read that when Israel was a child, God called his son out of Egypt. And the important aspect of that verse, I believe, is the words that I omitted. That in that call, we have God's demonstration of his love. And I believe that that's what occurred as a result of our Lord being in this land and then being taken out of it and brought back into the land of Israel. Because in that process, it would be a demonstration to Joseph and Mary of the love that God had for his only begotten son. Because in so doing, it was a reflection of the love that God also showed to that nation. And that's what Hosea chapter 11 records, brethren and sisters. Because we have a description here of a father offering tender care to his child. And that care was shown to the Son of God, as the care was also shown to a disobedient nation, and as that same care is being shown to us. And it's that point, if there is no other point that we get out of the exhortation this evening, is that in the Passover, brethren and sisters, we have a demonstration of God's care and his love towards us all. And it's that point that I would hope that we would learn from our exhortation this evening. And we have a beautiful picture in Hosea chapter 11 of a father taking a child and caring for that child. Of a father using, as it were, the training straps that a parent would have for a child, of the harness that would be around that child, and the lead that would be used to make certain that the care that a parent would have was always manifest to that person. You read Hosea chapter 11, and looking, brethren and sisters, at verse 3. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. And here, brethren and sisters, I'd like to just read the Revised Standard Version's rendering of that particular verse, because I believe it reveals the spirit of this section of the Word of God, if not the literal application, because there's no doubt that it's speaking of an heifer. But what the RSV says in respect to this particular verse, it has these words. I led them with reins of kindness and with leading strings of love. I was like someone who lifts an infant close against his cheek. Stooping down, I gave him his food. And so we have the tender, loving care of a father for his child. And I believe, brethren and sisters, that this is the very point that we should get out of Hosea chapter 11. And so God's love was shown to his son when he called him out of Egypt. And time does not allow us to deal with Hosea chapter 11 in detail, brethren and sisters. But when we come to Israel as Yahweh's national servant, I believe it's important for us to understand the state in which that nation was found when Yahweh called them out of Egypt. In Ezekiel chapter 20, brethren and sisters, we have some important description given there that's not found in Exodus. And I believe it's the reason for why Israel suffered the first three plagues. And that was that Israel had turned unto the gods of the Egyptians. And although Moses appeared unto them in the name of Yahweh, what Ezekiel chapter 20 declares, brethren and sisters, when we look at that verse, is that in Ezekiel chapter 20, it reveals the fact that Israel rebelled against Yahweh, notwithstanding that particular call. So that we read there, that in the day that I lifted up mine hand in verse 6 unto them, to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt, for I am Yahweh your God. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them. And so I believe that that was the reason why Israel suffered the first three of those plagues, that they also might repent. And so we come now, brethren and sisters, to the tenth plague, to that which was a plague to Egypt, but that which was also the means of salvation and redemption to the nation of Israel. We come to the Passover, the record of Exodus chapter 12. And what we find, brethren and sisters, when we come to deal with God's dealing with that nation, is those beautiful words of Hosea chapter 11. Words, brethren and sisters, that are worth underlining. That when God dealt with that nation, as he deals with us, He concludes that chapter by saying, I am a God and not man. And so when we come to try to understand better our Heavenly Father, let us appreciate we have one who is able to forgive. We have one who can work in our lives with tender, loving care. We have one, brethren and sisters, who loves us, and with the same gentle care that he had manifest to his own son, he also manifests to that nation, and he also manifests to us. And so we should come to know our God and to understand him the better. And so with that tenth plague, we find in that plague, brethren and sisters, that Yahweh made a separation. And in that plague, even the dogs separated themselves from the nation, as we read in Exodus chapter 11. And so Yahweh made a separation, just as light is separate from darkness, just as death is separate from life. So we read the record of Exodus chapter 12. And when we come to that feast, brethren and sisters, of all of the ordinances of the law, of all of the feasts and the sacrifices of the law, this is the only one that is described as Yahweh's feast. And so this one is special, brethren and sisters, and it is the Passover that we come to remember this evening. And it is special over and above all of the other feasts of Yahweh and the ordinances of the Mosaic Law. What we find when we come to this feast is the fact that there were matters that were very specific in relation to it. And because of our limitation of time, of necessity, brethren and sisters, we will limit our remarks. But what we find, for example, is that there was a unique factor in this feast as it relates to the disposal of the blood. And we know in respect to this blood that the blood of the lamb was taken, it was caught in a basin, and with a bunch of hyssop it was sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels. And we find that in respect to the sin offering, it was the blood that was prominent and dealt with in a special way in respect to the sin offering. We find in respect to the Passover, brethren and sisters, that there was a unique way in which the animal that was offered, the lamb of the first year, had to be without spot and blemish, and that lamb was then totally consumed. It had to be totally consumed. And what we find, brethren and sisters, that the same uniqueness also applied to the burnt offering that was noted for being without blemish, and that it was also totally consumed upon the altar. And then in respect to the Passover, as we are all well aware, that this was an offering in which each person could participate in. It had to be eaten. And that was also the uniqueness of our peace offering. And we also find that it was eaten with a meal offering, that being the unleavened bread. And so here was in one offering, brethren and sisters, represented the sin offering, was represented the burnt offering, the peace offering, and the meal offering. And by that one offering, deliverance occurred to that nation. And so we come to Psalm 40, brethren and sisters, because there is a cost to us in our identification with this sacrifice. And so in Psalm chapter 40, the 40th Psalm rather, we read the words in verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Now in those words, We also have embraced all those sacrifices that were seen in the Passover. Sacrifice. In the Hebrew, the word used for sacrifice there is the same word used to describe the peace offering. Sacrifice and offering. In the word offering, we have the word used for the meal offering. So we have the peace offering and the meal offering. Thou didst not desire. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. And so what does the Father want of us? Because as we come here, brethren and sisters, and as we, in fact, continue our journey together, we are not asked to make those offerings. But what Yahweh requires of us is revealed there in that Psalm 40, that we should delight to do His will. That we should delight to do His will. And this is what God requires of us. So in our identification with this Passover feast that we keep, with our identification with the fact that we eat not the leavened bread of bitterness and malice, what God requires of us, brethren and sisters, is a delight to do His will. And in identification with this Passover, what we can be assured of is God's care and God's presence. And we'd like to just see that as we conclude our exhortation. What we find, brethren and sisters, is that by keeping that feast, and similarly by us keeping this feast, we can command God's care that He may overshadow us. What we find, I believe, in the picture given in Exodus chapter 12, brethren and sisters, is a picture of two types of angels. There are the angels revealed in Psalm 78 and verse 49. And those angels are the evil angels. And in Psalm 78, they are described there as performing a work. Psalm 78 and verse 49. We read, "And dealing with the Egyptians, he said, he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation, and troubled by sending evil angels among them." And that same thought is also developed in Hebrews 11 and verse 28. And what we find is that there was the evil angel who with the sword in his hand would take the life of the firstborn. However, there was also the angel of God's presence who was there to protect the home where the blood was found on the doorposts and the lintels. Turn with me back to Exodus chapter 12 and let us see that picture as we take it up in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 12. And in making these points, brethren and sisters, we come back to the first point that we made of how there is our need to come to know and understand that we have a loving God who cares for us as a father doth his child, and who would overshadow us and protect us. So that in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12 we read, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am Yahweh." And in that word we read in verse 12, "For I will pass through," we have the Hebrew word Abar. And so here we have the Father passing through the land, and where there is no blood found, so that angel would destroy the firstborn of that house. But then in verse 13 we read, "And the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses whereof ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And now we find a different Hebrew word in the word pass over, and that is the word pekach, from which we get the word Passover. And in this case, brethren and sisters, it doesn't indicate that the angel passes over, but in the Hebrew, it indicates that the angel hovers over that house and remains above it to provide the care and the protection that those that know and love God, who are pleased to do His will, can command from a loving Heavenly Father. And so we find, brethren and sisters, that there is Yahweh's care that would come upon us. So that verse 23 of Exodus 12 reads, "For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians, but when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will hover over that door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." And so there is Yahweh described, as it were, like the eagle. Like the eagle of Deuteronomy chapter 32 that hovers over its young to care for them and to protect them. And so what we find there, brethren and sisters, is a description of the care of a loving God. That's also revealed in Isaiah 31 and verse 5. And the same picture is given here. So that in Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 5 we read, "As birds flying, so will Yahweh of armies defend Jerusalem. Defending also he will deliver it. And passing over," the same Hebrew word from which we get the word Passover, "hovering over, he will preserve it." You don't preserve a city, brethren and sisters, by coming to it and carrying on and passing through. You can only defend it by remaining there to give it the care and protection that's necessary. And so we find that Yahweh would defend Jerusalem. But we know the story, that when our Lord came to that city, in the words of Matthew 23 and verse 37, he said, "Because of the sin of the nation, and because they were not worthy," he said, "O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy chickens together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And in those words he quotes from Psalm 118, one of the Hallel Psalms that were sung at the time of the Passover. And so, brethren and sisters, we come here this evening to remember the great work that has been done on our behalf, to remember it through the deliverance that occurred to that nation when they were led out of this land by a mighty arm, and that in that process they were taken from darkness to light, from death to life. And that was the work of a loving God who cares for us as a father would his child. And just as Yahweh was with them to overshadow them in all the ways that they went, so we, brethren and sisters, are privileged to have the same care and protection, that that might hover over us to deliver us into his kingdom. But on our part, there is the need that it might be our delight to do his will. And so we keep this Passover, and we keep it not with the old leaven.